I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You didn't open the meeting.
I know. I
forgot. Sorry, I got too excited about the flag.
Why is it red on the corner there?
Red in the corner. Right. Oh, it's because it's a sample of a flag.
Oh, it's just a sample. Okay.
What?
Oh, chop.
My brain is a little fried right now. So, okay, so this is our Wednesday, June 25th meeting of the Pines and Plains Board. And it's 6:14. And we are here in Simla. So do we have a motion to accept the agenda?
I would make a motion to accept the agenda as printed.
I second it.
Okay, thank you. And now we have
all in favor.
Aye.
Just trying to help you.
I thank you. I need the help right now. This has been a lot of driving today. So we have our meeting minutes from May 28th.
Is it May 28th? Is the date on the minutes May 29th?
So okay.
Let me double check. Yeah, I think we may have.
Yeah, no, it's Thursday.
Because of the rain.
Oh, that's right. Because we had to do it. We did it a day after. Yep.
Yes.
That's right.
So 29th is the right number.
Yeah. 29th is correct.
Yeah.
Okay, I make a motion that we change the date for our regular meeting minutes that we're approving to May 29th.
I second that.
Okay.
All in
favor.
Aye.
I'm going to just stay home next time. We have much more fun than the commissioners meeting.
No, me too.
Okay, we have some correspondence. If I'm going too fast for anybody, just please slow me down. I miss it.
No, it's right here.
Yeah, it looks like this.
Oh, she doesn't.
See?
No, wait.
Oh, here it is.
There it is.
Two more.
It's hiding.
I needed two more.
I think the letter was very. She was very complimentary of our library accounting. According to her report, they didn't find anything weird or things that was only a very couple of minor things to maybe do a little bit different. It's overall, we're in really good shape.
Yeah, he thinks that we're doing a good job. Okay, can we move on to the bank reconciliations?
The old one.
The old one.
Yeah. May Bank.
Okay, the bank reconciliation, the CVC checking account, has the amount of $13,300.31. The new CVC checking account, which contains most of the funds, is now $1,316,425.70. The CVC payroll account has $35,988.76. The Colorado Trust has $748,951.87. CSafe One account has $609,178.64.
How much? 600?
$609,178.64.
Would you take some out of that for some reason? I'll shut up.
We got another. No, we haven't touched it. Okay. We're just letting it sit and earn interest.
And the C-Safe 2 account, which I'm a little confused because I signed some papers and it refers to it as the C-Safe 3 account. So perhaps we can talk about that another time. Yeah. That account has $738,046.38. And the gross total is $3,461,891.66.
The May budget to actual, if you look on page 3 of your profit and loss statement, and then look in the third line from the bottom, in May, we've spent total from January through May, $550,744.03, and that is 35.49% of the budget, and May is 42% of the year, so we're still under budget. We're at 35.5% and May is 42% of the year.
Yeah. Okay, do we have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
Seconded.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And the committee reports. Our Board of County Commissioners meetings.
I was bad. And didn't I was involved in dog stuff, and I was bad shaped.
Okay, it was entertaining for me.
Was it? Did it get more fun?
Yes, I think so. So June 12th was first one, that was 2 weeks ago, and that one they were talking a lot about road and bridge, public works and road and bridge, and all of the damage that they have on all of the roads, the different roads, and they were just talking a lot about that. That was just part of the discussion, and they were talking a lot about the solar farm, the fees to be used for bridge repair. There's a lot of citizens that are against the solar farms, that they feel that it's just not conducive to the Elbert County vision, beauty of Elbert County, and a lot of discussion about possibly, instead of having a solar farm, possibly just making sure that all of the homes that were being built have individual solar on them. So that was part of some discussion. That was all just discussion, though. Just a lot of discussion about the XL coming in and the power lines, and how that is just kind of a really unpopular position for a lot of people. And they listened. That was all discussion. There was no vote on that. They feel like the XL is using bullying tactics to get that done, and that they may just decide they're worried about eminent domain, you know, to do that as they come in. So that's a big discussion. Let's see, just a lot of stuff that I don't know, like more discussion about the public moratorium or the pause on building. That was discussed a lot. Some of the commissioners are feeling that that is a positive step, and some not. You know, they're feeling that that would really put a close on Elbert County. Where's my? There was something with the sheriff, and I can't.
The union? Was that it?
Didn't the sheriff want more money? Yeah. Budget.
He always wants more money.
Of the union, something.
It was.
That was a couple of months ago.
So it was the ability to do collective bargaining, and there was a lot of negative discussion about that. And they, I think, were not going to pass that. But then the sheriff's attorney got up and discussed, you know, we have been discussing this for over a year. If we push it back any longer, we're facing a lawsuit. Pretty tough stuff. And so they did vote for that to pass. So that was done. I don't know, good or bad, whatever y'all think. Lot of talk about new construction standards and fees. So apparently the fees have not increased for building permits and such for many years, and they want to have the building fees go up to make more money, you know, and that was passed also. That was all. That was that thing. Yep. And today, this is fun today. I can find my note today. It's so fresh in my mind that I probably could just tell you what happened
today. It was fun? Is that what you said?
Yeah, fun. I get it. So basically, I'm going to just keep it like neutral. There was a lot of discussion today about the sheriff wants two new cars, and they voted on him being able to get two new cars. There's his purpose, and it was that the wear and tear on the county cars is because there's so many dirt roads. There's 300 miles of paved roads in the 1,100 mile county, and the cars get beat up, and the radiators fall off, and I mean, they've had to put new engines and transmissions in their current cars, and they need to update the fleet. They're getting new officers, and they need new cars, and so that was...
Are the cars leased?
Lease purchase.
Oh.
Lease purchase is what they said, and these particular cars were going to be for another department, but they backed out, so I think it's a good deal. So they approved those two cars for them. They did approve a third term for Norton, for the sheriff, and also for the coroner. So they're going to have a term limit of 3 years instead of 2 years. There's a lot of discussion about the potholes that are not needing to get fixed. The moratorium, they like to call it a pause. There was more discussion on that today. One of the commissioners really argued that we need to have a pause just so we can kind of regroup and have a zoning map, because we're the only county. Douglas County has a zoning map. Arapahoe County has a zoning map. All of the other El Paso, all the other neighboring counties have a zoning map, and Elbert County doesn't have a zoning map. So just kind of his argument was to take a pause and let's see how it, you know, let's kind of, you know, make some growth plans, not to stop the growth, but let's to plan the growth better. And the argument was, it was long. It was a 25 minute, you know, dissertation from, you know, back in the, you know, 1700s and the founding fathers on property rights. Is that property rights on why everybody, whether that would be unconstitutional to have a
zoning plan?
To have
not
zoning?
A zoning plan, but a pause on the growth.
They do it elsewhere.
It's a It would be a against what's the word? Not commercialism, capitalism. It, you know, it's kind of anti-capitalist. It was just like so a lot of argument against that. And so they are going to put that discussion to the public. The public planner and they have a new attorney, a new county attorney, and so they are going to discuss this further. So we'll see where that goes.
Thank you, Lisa. That was very good. But you made me think of a question, especially talking about the zoning and the planning. Are they addressing when they do that planning? Are they addressing property for new libraries in the future?
Well, it's interesting. Right now, they are putting a pause on everything just to kind of see, you know, what's going on. I don't think the new building of, the library or an improvement to a property, but new.
What I'm talking about, because they're talking about, yes. I'm talking about the new developments. Are they making plans for us to be able to serve the community?
That would, when you submit a plat, which would be from a builder,
mm-hmm.
there would be different zones within that plat that could be commercial, could be parks, could be, so it is not on a county zoning map, but it would be within a builder's plat that is submitted for approval.
Okay. But would that be under the umbrella of these new zoning planning people?
I do not believe
It sounded more like it was talking a lot about the housing, the increase in the
like
housing.
Where you can have apartments, yeah. where you so can yeah. have yeah. homes with acreage.
And commercial.
Yes. Development, then... when the developers will say, well, we want a library and a school and an office building or a doctor's office because that attracts people to
the development. Or actually the planning department, in many cases, now this was years ago, require a certain percentage.
Yeah, that's good.
And you had to figure out what you wanted to give as a developer to meet the requests of the county commissioners and the building planning and building department.
I think it also depends on the size of your development. I mean, if your development is, say, several square miles and it's going to increase X number of housing units for that area and add so many people, then some places have a deal that says, okay, you have to have a public school for a certain size deal, and you have to have so much zoning for public buildings, i.e. government and or which include libraries, police stations, so on and so forth, depending on how much it's increasing the population. That plat is going to add to an area that.
And again, that's where impact fees come
right.
in.
Right.
And none of that was discussed today. That part wasn't discussed today. Impact fees were discussed the last week, and they were increasing the impact fees, which they hadn't increased for many years.
So we're talking impact fees. They're increasing, maybe not building permit fees.
They are doing the building permit fees.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. So, I'm happy about that. I'm just being, maybe I'm being really dense, but I would think that our people who are creating the zoning and saying, if you're going to take 100 acres, we want 50 apartment houses, 5 private houses, property for a gas station, property for a school.
But that's not a zoning map.
That's not a zoning. No. But
it's like commercial zoning, residential zoning, multi-house zoning, that kind of stuff.
That's why I think the county needs.
is that, let's say this is Elbert County, and right here is Elizabeth in the center. They will zone so many acres around for commercial. They will say, okay, over here, it can, any of this can be A1 ag because there's so many ranchers.
Is that the county employees saying that?
No, they have someone come in and do a feasibility study, just like we did.
Well, isn't a city planner an employee of?
Well, they got a planning commission. I don't know if they're involved with
it. See, I'm not getting.
The zoning map is not going to say you have to have a library here.
No.
But it will say there's commercial land available.
And what the argument is that a rancher, say, for instance, wants to sell. He's got 100,000 acres and he wants to sell 500 of them to whatever, for whatever purpose. He should be able to do that.
And as a. Mm-hmm. So many years ago, Elbert County uses if you wanted to subdivide an acreage, 200 acres,
okay,
a certain percentage of it has got to touch a development that is high density if they're going to use it for high density. If they're going to use it for 5-acre sites, a certain percentage of the border of that land has got to have 5-acre lots. That is what I think they're probably trying to get around from now to prevent the additional growth going out.
Okay.
Does that make sense what I'm saying, Ruthanne?
I don't know. We'll probably
discuss
it over in
It's okay. It's more.
Our subdivision has 40 houses. When they put it up, 20 acres were allotted to the school district to put a school up. That never happened because there weren't apparently not enough people there. So the school board sold the 20 acres to individuals, and now there are 2 houses on 10 acres. Yep. That's what happens.
But one argument is, I found my notes, slow and controlled growth. Need a zoning map. We currently have had 96,000 homes, which has doubled the population in the last year. So he wants to slow it down. And the other argument is that rural means making a living on your property.
Oh, my gosh.
No, that's not true. It's the fact.
They're trying. We're having issues with our fax machine.
I need you now. It's not going to kill me.
You're not drunk. It's
making a living on your property?
Making a living on your property, he said, is considered rural. Not to me, right? No.
5 acres? What are you going to grow on 5 acres? Nothing.
You're going to have a horse?
Yeah, and maybe some. Hardly make a living off the damn horse.
Horse is an expense.
It's just the opposite.
What I see. It's a major expense.
It was a lot of back and forth.
I can well imagine.
And 25 minutes of that.
So she timed it, too.
Well, they get 5 minutes each, right, nowadays? To speak,
but this was the commissioners.
Oh, the commissioners. Oh.
Oh, and the other thing is they did approve the vehicle, the radios, because I guess the sheriff department radios are becoming obsolete, and they have to update them. So they approved that. That has to happen. So.
They went.
All right.
That's it. I don't mind going. I think it's kind of interesting.
It is. No, I agree with you.
Betty Allen.
I was dogging it.
So July, though, who's going to go for
we
July?
We haven't got the schedule, do we?
We don't have a...
No, we have to get a volunteer for July, because I am going to be in California, so...
Well, I guess I haven't gone in a while. I went in January, so I guess...
You go, and then when you come back, you and I'll go with you, and we'll do the next month after August.
August. I just have 1 week in August that I might not be home.
Okay. Alessandra takes care of July. I'll worry about
August.
Okay.
And I can't remember the dates. Are they like the second Wednesday?
Second and fourth. Yeah, because it's the same day as the library board.
So that'd be easy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Works.
Okay. So then, and Susan and I attended the Special District Association Board Member Workshop, which was lots of fun.
Well, lots of fun. I don't know. Your definition of fun
might be. I always like to learn new things.
It might be different than.
So, well, my favorite thing that I learned was because when I first became a board member, I was told under no uncertain terms, can we have more than three board members together at a place?
Right.
No, three would be a quorum.
Yes. So okay. Two of us could have lunch.
So, yes. So, but at this special districts, it said, you can have as many as you want as long as you don't discuss board business.
Oh, well, yeah, right. I think so. We can't stop you from being friends.
You start talking, then it new business. And
yes. Exactly. But, for,
but you can go have happy hour if you want to.
That's exactly, well, exactly what we're looking for.
But
you can talk about the
for
dentist.
Years.
I'm sorry.
The dentist, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can talk about commissioner meetings. That's not board meeting.
No, we just can't talk about library business.
Yeah.
No, but, library
business. But for years, even like commissioners, it's always been. I thought a law, you couldn't do it.
No, but that was something that I was like, yes.
Well, the county commissioners are always paranoid about if three of them show up at the coffee shop, the one of them has to leave.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a perception, too, that if all three are there, are they conducting business? So
if you're appearance of impropriety.
Right. The problem is they most generally never, ever sit together, so how can they be discussing?
So anything else exciting?
They went through all the laws.
Oh yes, all the laws.
And so that's why we're updating our CORA policy, and it's also, well, I knew that we needed to do the civil rights immigration thing as well, so they went over that. And then they do a lot of training about boards and they did also talk about social media, and we needed a social media policy, so that we've added that to the agenda. But they have a lot more in the law about special district boards, but there are things, you know, that apply to library boards as well. We got a big fat manual with all the board information, and again, a lot of it is special district law, but like the stuff on open records and that does apply to the library board. Public records would apply to the library board.
Yeah, so, there was some very specific things about when people asked for open records and
right
what was pertinent and what was private. Things like that.
They gave us an executive session handout, and but we also have this, and I need to make sure I bring it to every meeting. So we have our own version of it that talks about when it's appropriate to do executive session. We've also got a separate set about public meetings that I should bring to every meeting just in case.
Not an issue.
This is a public meeting, right?
This is a public meeting, yeah. So in case people come and they want to talk. We've got rules that the library board has set up about how that works. And so I need to make sure that I have that at every meeting. Just so that we're ready. But yeah, risk management. We got some fabulous risk management notebooks from them.
Yeah, we have it up at the front
door. And that was a good meeting.
And the one interesting thing, because the first thing that they brought up was about backing into parking spaces.
Right.
And the reason they brought it up, because then when I was at one of the county commissioners meeting, there was another risk management, the insurance guy was there, and he goes, the biggest problem is people, it's backing up issues. So when you pull into a parking place, you're more apt to have a rear end accident backing out of the parking place. The safest way is to back into a parking space.
And Ruth Ann does it
now.
No, it's funny. I always say, boys, back in. Because how many guys do you know that back in their vehicle?
I either pull through or I try to back in.
She's getting good too.
And I just, well, no, that was something I learned from the job that I had. They used to send us to videos and stuff, and they said, whatever you do, back in. If you can back in, it'll be much safer. Because I had a very tense parking garage experience today. It was not fun. So, okay, we're all covered there. So now we got the foundation meeting.
Yeah, so we had a meeting last Saturday with the foundation. Noelle and Alessandra were there, and I was there too. I'm just really excited by the people that we've gathered together. We've divided people out into committees already, and I meet with my committee tomorrow to start working on like the base plan of what the foundation is going to be doing, and coming up also with a set of talking points that people on the foundation can use as they're raising money. So yeah, that's just, I don't know.
Really impressed.
I was very impressed with
what we have, 13, 14?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's great.
And it's, I mean,
they're excited.
They're excited and they have experience about doing all sorts of different things. So yeah, it's going to be a really good meeting, a really good group of people. So that was exciting. One of the women on there was on the board when they bought the building that Elizabeth is in now. She used to be in the police department in New York City. The woman that was two down from me.
The one that came in was looking for the bylaws and.
No. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was somebody else. Yeah. So yeah, just really impressive group of people. So I'm excited to see what they can do.
That's fabulous. Okay.
That's not the same as the outreach committee. I'm just looking at, right, the meeting you have tomorrow.
No. Okay. Yeah. It's.
We don't have to accept anything. Yeah.
No. So
it's Susan's turn.
Yeah. Morale is on my committee.
Yeah, okay.
And Tracy
and Karen.
Tracy and Karen. Yeah. So that's the meeting that's tomorrow. Director's report. So we were in the newspaper. There was a great article about the summer reading program in the Elbert County News. And so if you have a chance to look at that, our newsletter continues to go out to almost 2,000 people every month. We talked about our partnership with the Workforce Center in our June issue. Kim Miller has turned in her resignation, and her last day is going to be July 31st. And she's done so much work on programming for older adults. Yeah, so we're really going to miss her. So, and
should we have a tea for her or something? Or is that
We're working on a party for her. I think it's going to be the Friday the 25th of July at the Elbert Library. Pardon me. Kiowa at 5. So it's July 25th, Friday, July 25th at 5 p.m. at Elbert, and the library will be closed.
At Kiowa.
Kiowa, gosh.
It's okay.
Yeah, Kiowa. And we don't know yet whether we're going to do just like pizza or something like that, or whether we'll have a potluck, but I'll email you guys about that. So. I'll let you know. I'm working on my self-evaluation. No, actually, I haven't started my self-evaluation, but I'll have it for you next month. And then,
Mary. Here we go again.
I know. You and I. You know what? You somebody else needs to do it this year. We did it last year.
So what? Do you want a committee to evaluate me? You can assign people to the. Well, wait till next month.
We'll wait.
Mary Ellen submitted our audit to the state of Colorado, and Nat posted it on our website, and so we're all good. Ruth Ann and Alessandra signed a letter to the auditor saying that we did everything the way we were supposed to do. So we did get a challenge this month, which we haven't had a challenge before. So a challenge is when somebody gives us a formal written complaint about an item in the library. So they're complaining about a DVD. It's called Churchill, The Untold Story of D-Day. It's a fictional DVD, and the concern is that that they didn't represent history accurately, and they didn't represent Churchill accurately. So we're working on responding to this. We're following our policy, which gives us 30 days to respond. And then once we respond, if they don't like the response, then they can bring it back to the library board, and then you can appoint a committee, and then we can do another round of evaluation. So that's kind of where we are.
What is the name of it?
It's called Churchill, The Untold Story of D-Day. It's a DVD. It's from 2017.
Is it on the title or whatever on the cover, does it say that this is a fictional deal or not?
It's in the fiction area, and it stars, it has actors in it. So, but it's not in the nonfiction area.
But it's not a documentary.
No,
and it's not and it's not cataloged as a documentary.
It's cataloged
as drama.
It's cataloged.
So basically, it's some actress portraying Churchill.
Exactly.
It's a producer and a director that's their perception of history and how they wanted to portray him.
It doesn't portray itself as a historical thing, per se.
No. Except that it's based on a historical.
I mean, how many people have had these untold stories done about them, and we have it, you know, somewhere in the library, but it's not necessarily authorized for. So.
But we're following our, because we have a new law now about the challenge, so we're following the policy that we have written and the law in responding to the challenge. Facilities, we've had lots of excitement going on. I met with Tom Grisham of the Elbert Recreation Center Committee, and they want to partner with us. They want to build a new rec center in Elbert, and they want to
put
And they want to put the library in the rec center.
Oh.
And the facility would have a basketball court, swimming pool, and meeting rooms, and a library. So
nice.
Where is this going to be?
It's very early stages. They are working with an architect. They don't have property yet.
But it's nice to think about getting it out of the
school
and into a public place.
Yeah. Easy to access. Yeah.
Yes, that would be lovely. Okay.
And more hours, we get better usage.
Absolutely. Elizabeth, we're working with the University Technical Assistance Program. So we met with Jeff Wood from UTAP and our consultant Anders and several of the students we met virtually. And it was just kind of a coordination meeting between Anders and UTAP. And Anders he was on vacation for a week, 2 weeks, and he's should be back now. And he's heavy duty working on the Elizabeth program plan. He gave us questionnaires with all kinds of questions, and we answered all his questions, and so he's working in that plan. So Jeff from UTAP is hoping that we can host some public meetings at the end of July, but we'll have to see, you know, if we can get Anders information to them soon enough, then they can maybe do it by the end of the July, because they're trying to match their school year, and they're on summer break right now, so this is a good time for them to do it.
So what does he want from the public meetings?
So UTAP is planning to have public meetings to ask the public what they're looking for in a library. What is it that they think that Elbert Countyans need? I'm not sure if at this stage they will have some preliminary things to show them or not, but ultimately they will have preliminary drawings to show them to kind of see what kind of interests people have about that.
Hope I'm back.
So the construction guys next door, right before our summer reading program kickoff, I think I let some of you guys know, they dug a big hole in the A 5-foot hole was filled with 4 feet of water, perfect for drowning small children from the summer reading program kickoff. So we let the town know, and they came in and fixed it that right before the summer reading program kickoff. And they put grates on the top of it. It's like two cement holes now outside the fence, but the grates are very wide. And so even an adult, if you're walking across, you could put your foot through the grate. So right now we just have it like cordoned off with flags and a cone and stuff like that. So yeah, they're making a lot of friends. They are.
So what are they going to do to it? What's it going to be like permanently?
Eventually, I mean, they've got to work on the whole swale. So
it's just temporary.
Yeah. My understanding is that it's temporary. So, Kiowa, lots of things going on with Kiowa. I had one company come and look at the project, and they wanted their partner to come and see. And I've been trying to follow up with them. The partner hasn't seen it yet. And then I have another company that's planning to come out next week to look at the project. So I've still got two organizations in play. Kiowa, we had hailstorm on May 24th. And I had the insurance company come out and look. And we have money to replace the roof on the main building and also on the sheds. So now I've got to get some quotes, people to come out and look at the replacing the roofs on both or on the sheds. The insurance guy recommended that we wait and not do it until the middle of August or end of August. Wait till hail season is over, almost over, and then replace the roof. Because otherwise, if we do it now, we're still having so much hail that we could have a brand new roof and get it damaged again.
How old is the roof that's on there?
It has been replaced in recent memory. I've got it in my notes, but I'd have to dig around to find it because it was hail damaged the last time it was replaced too.
Are they suggesting that perhaps we should go to a metal roof?
They have not said that. No, okay. No.
I'm just because it's. I know
the problem.
Personally. Mm-hmm. If I get hail damaged, I'm going to see if I can dig up more money and get a metal roof because I'm about done with this roof replacement business.
The only thing is the noise, although I think they have some that are not as noisy maybe nowadays.
Insulation.
Yeah, well, that would be my only concern. That can be really loud.
I'll check with the insurance company and see, you know, what happens if we decide to replace it with metal. Because we'd have to,
it's more expensive.
Pay for the difference, but I don't know.
And here too, the wind. Well, mm-hmm. There are times that I have to go home when we get wind coming out of it.
Because it whistles?
No, it sounds like melodrama thunder. And I'm in that little cubicle in the corner, and it just reverberates to the point I'm like, I can put up with it for so long, and then I'll text Susan. I'm like, I got to go home and work for a while because I'm getting a headache. It's bad. So, and it's not so bad out in the main part, but it's real bad on that corner.
So is this from a metal? I'm sorry.
How old is it? Maybe it's an older one or not?
I have no idea because we're not the owner.
Really, so. Technology's improved somewhat.
Yeah, no, I think it's, well, and I just think it's just happens to be that one direction that it comes from is when it does this boom, boom, boom thing.
Okay. And just one other point with the insurance company. If we upgrade to a metal roof, will we get a rebate on the insurance?
That's a good question.
What do you mean a rebate?
Or a discount?
A discount.
Oh.
Money back.
Yeah, or will it reduce your premiums or something?
Yeah, I see.
Have to have the roof thickness of the metal has to be of a certain thickness to warrant be more hail resistant because some metal roofs will damage just as bad as shingle roofs. If we look at a metal roof, I would suggest whatever we do, go for the premium metal so that, and then add pay for extra trim at the edges to keep.
Something like that, yeah. And it might not be as bad in Kiowa because we're on the edge of town. There's no windbreak here at all. And there's Kiowa, so
it needs to be screwed down or something.
It has to do with the angle that the roof.
It's just a perfect. It doesn't happen very, often, but when it does, it's just, oh my goodness.
So we are getting it. Hopefully we will get a discount on our insurance because we are working to make sure that every employee does a certain training. So there's online training that we can do. And so we get either a 5% or a 10% discount on one portion of our insurance. We have property and liability insurance. So one of those pieces we get a discount on. So we're working on getting that. It's like standard kind of business training. So we've asked everybody to either take the sexual harassment training or the, gosh darn it. Oh, the phishing training, like emails.
Oh, emails. Okay. Yeah.
Cyber phishing.
Okay.
P-H-I-S.
Yes. Okay.
So also in Kiowa, we have to have the water meter replaced. The consultant that's working with the town of Kiowa notified us that our water meter is too deep and needs to be dug out to be replaced. And they told us that we had to do that. But then I contacted the town of Kiowa and they said, nope, don't worry about it. Kiowa Water and Wastewater Authority will take care of that for us. So we don't have to. So this is wrong. What I have in my notes is wrong because I had another development from that. Technology, we purchased a new AWE computer, which is a children's computer. We used our state grant funds to buy that, and next year we'll buy one for Simla using our state grant funds. finances, we finally closed the old checking account and transferred that $13,300.31 to the new main checking account. And we started the paperwork to add Alessandra to the bank's Community Banks of Colorado accounts. So Alan, Ruth Ann, Alessandra, myself, and Sarah all need to go into the bank to sign.
Yeah.
I've already done it. Do they have the papers ready and they never called me?
We're doing it paper. Yeah, they're not going to call you. They're not going to call you. This time we're doing it on paper. So,
and is this back with Lisa?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And
she has it all done, ready to sign. And she's got everything annotated as to where each person has to sign. So, I mean, she's got it really figured out.
That's Lisa.
Because I went in there and okay. did the whole thing. I had to sign about 8 times. And I wasn't there 15 minutes.
And she told me that they cannot fix your name, which some of us think is a load of something, but that's what she told me. So when you go in, you can ask her again about your name.
Okay.
And why they can't fix your name on the electronic part.
What is your name?
The way they spell it.
The way they spell it. Right. On my birth certificate, it's capital R, U T H, capital A, and N, and they didn't do the capital A. And I said, that's.
How can you not edit that?
Yes.
With that.
That doesn't.
Especially in today's day and age, it should be so simple.
Exactly. It's a trigger you push on the
typewriter. Yeah, it's like shift.
Yeah.
Shift.
It's not even a space, right?
And there's not even a space. I don't want a space. I just want hit the shift button when you do the A.
I mean, think about Louis L'Amour or LaGuardia Airport, L-A, capital G. But
whatever.
Regardless,
okay.
Go talk to Lisa and
okay.
tell her. Anyway, and I also finances wise, I contacted the county assessor and I said, what's going on with property taxes? Because she sometimes will have like a little handy dandy spreadsheet that I can use, but she is not ready this year, so. So I'm going to start drafting because I need to start working on that now. I'm just going to draft a flat budget. And so I'm just going to be creative about raises because I'm
determined to give everyone raises, but I just don't know where it's going to come from. So we'll figure it out. Statistics. The statistics are attached here. And it's pretty impressive. Our circulation has been just chugging along, doing much, much more nicely than last year. And we have a good number of new cardholders. We're holding pretty steady with that. Our door counts are looking really great too. We have a lot more programs than we normally do. And our program attendance is pretty much off the charts. So yeah, it's pretty exciting. And then the foundation meeting, I've already talked about that. I wrote this before we had the foundation meeting. I've got you all signed up for summer reading program, and you can download the app on your cell phone if you'd like, or we can show you how to track your hours on the computer.
So fun.
Yes.
I love it.
The summer reading program kickoff parties were really great. Elizabeth had 385 participants.
Oh my way.
And we beat last year was 333 participants. And Simla had a great summer reading program, and the Shiver Shack was really fun. Do you want to talk about your programming? I just had done a little summary for them, but
the kids out here have nothing to do, so we partner with our thrift store over here, and we partner with the fire department. Thrift store provides hot dogs and chips and, you know, water and that kind of thing. And they start serving. And then the last 45 minutes to an hour, the fire department comes in and we spray. And then we have bubble guns. So we're running around with bubbles in the air. The kids have a blast. And the thing that makes it, I think, exceptionally fun is it's all ages. So everybody, you know, that is available pretty much comes to the park. And so it's a really fun event. And then our movie night is this Friday, and that's why we had an event with the science guy, and he needed the room to be dark, and so we put up our shades for our movie night, but we just locked them up because why? So we can just untie those we have like tied up with ribbon. We're just going to pull them down. Everything goes down, so we don't have to stand on the tables twice. Let's see. And so it's very well attended. A lot of times we run out of chairs and everything else. We're looking at a new book club, and you know, I've already been chatting it up with the people. I think they have an interest. And then next month, and we're almost there. Kim and Mindy will come and teach sewing. We had a group that they taught last year. We pretty much have the same group returning again. They're going to make pajamas, and they're going to do it in Kiowa too. And then we had that science deal on Tuesday. We had 42 people, and I'm glad in Simla they don't like monitor our capacity like they do in Elizabeth. They might not be real happy, but we do have two exits, so I think we'd be all right. But in any case, it was funny because we're getting close to start time, and Cameron goes, I think it's going to be a bust. And we had 42 people, but you know, moms with kids, they arrive late because they can't get the kids in the car, and it's rough. But we had pretty much, you know, we had to pull out chairs from the break room, my office, everywhere. We were scrounging for chairs. And so, but it was a really fun event. And then here, I know in Simla or in Elizabeth, they do at least one. They're going to do one program next week. And but during 4th of July, we've just learned here, we don't do any programming. I also feel like summer reading is a marathon, and it gives the ASG a week to like take a deep breath, you know, and then get back at it, you know. So it's like 4 weeks on, a little bit of a break, and then another 4 weeks, and then we're done with summer reading. So it's kind of a nice, like, pause in the middle of a marathon run for a summer reading. And so it'll be fun, but we love it. And anyway, that's all the fun stuff here.
So at Elbert, we're going to be at Elbert Day on July 12th, and they're going to do a rock craft where you can decorate a rock to spread happiness, if you've seen those, where you leave the rocks around different places. At Kiowa, they had 8 attendees at their first coffee chat on May 27th, and then the other one, the next one was yesterday, didn't have any attendees, but it takes a while to start a new program. So I know, yeah, we were both there at the first one. It was a good group. So it just takes a while. Plus it's summertime, so it's hard to get things started in the summer. We've had the Kiowa summertime story time at the park, and so far it's been rained out twice. So we're just like hoping that it'll go off really well. And then they're doing some individual sewing classes. Mindy is just really great with sewing, and she's really patient and helpful. And so she's going to do some individual classes with like a homeschool mom and her kids. At Elizabeth, tomorrow is Kim's last community conversations group. We're not going to have one in July. So her community conversations is at 2:30 tomorrow. And then Active Minds, we had a Van Gogh class for Active Minds, and we had a great attendance. We worked really hard to get people there, and then the presenter didn't show up. They're giving us another free program beyond, and they'll repeat whatever if we want to do Van Gogh again. So that was just frustrating. And then today, Sarah was at Homeschool Day in Evans Park. And I think there's another homeschool event. Wasn't she saying?
I don't think it's homeschool, but there's another event she's attending next week in Evans Park, and I can't remember.
It's the picnic. It's a summer reading program picnic.
Oh, that's right. Right.
And then we've also Touch a Truck coming. Yeah, and we've got Touch a Truck coming at the end of July, and then Kim is doing Christmas in July program at Elizabeth. And that, I think, is July 2nd.
What's involved in that?
They're going to sew stockings. I think there's a few little crafts.
Sewing? Crafts?
I don't think it's all sewing, but I think sewing is one of them.
They bought, she's got us an air fryer so that they can make cookies. So they're going to make Christmas cookies in July and do a Christmas craft and some sewing.
How are they going to make in Elizabeth?
In Elizabeth, yeah.
I'm just thinking they've got to be really creative. I guess they're not. Maybe somebody is going to have the dough first.
The cookies. I think they have to, because we have to be careful about how we cook things. Mm-hmm. So they're prepared. It's like prepared dough, and then all we do is just put it in
the oven. Decorate.
Yeah, because
that makes sense.
Because there's rules. Like we either have to cook in a commercial kitchen to feed people, we have to provide like prepared food, like from Safeway or Walmart or something like that, or it has to be like prepared,
bake and bake.
They have all kinds of artificial stuff in there.
We've kind of switched over. We're just going to use the support the grocery store and stuff. We just for we always serve pizza for our movie nights, and we figured out they do like buy 7 pies, you get 33, so it ends up being just as cost effective to come here and support them than go to like Falcon and buy them at Papa Murphy's or something.
Sounds good.
So that's my report. Any questions?
I think that's like, you sound as busy as me.
Just one question. The deal in Elbert, are they expecting the library district to contribute X amount of money to the building of that deal or not?
It is very, very, very early. And they are currently a rec center committee. So they're not even like a district. So they don't have any legal standing yet. So it's kind of, it's very, very early in the process. So we would not want to commit to anything until things are moving along a little bit farther.
Good.
So, yeah. I just, I'm interested and I want to be kept informed, but we don't want to say anything yet.
We don't have.
You know.
I think that's
an education.
Right. Yeah.
Am I missing a page?
Are you missing a page?
Social media policy. Wasn't that the one you said you hadn't?
Number seven. We need to do number seven first.
So, yes.
Okay.
About adding Sarah Coleman and Alessandra Nevada as authorized signers of the safe deposit box at Community Banks of Colorado. It's another thing on your list.
I make a motion that we add Sarah and Alessandra as authorized signers of the safety deposit box at Community Banks of Colorado.
I would second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay. And then we move on to policy updates.
So we have two handouts. The first one says proposed policy changes and additions June 25th. So it looks like this. Kind of boring.
And let me show up.
I see, Ruthann, your turn is right here. It's right there.
That one, but then we got this one too, right?
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
So the first change is on page 21. I'd like to update the cost of CORA requests from $33.58 to $41.37 per hour. So the first hour is free, but then any hours beyond that to pull things for a Open Records Act request is $41. Price just went up.
Yeah, that was in our special districts thing.
That's how we learned about that.
And so when someone wants records, they have to pay this.
Right. They get an hour for free.
Right.
And then after that, we have to let them know ahead of time. It's like
how much it is.
Yeah, we think, okay, what you're asking for, I think that's going to take me 3 hours to find it. So it's going to be 41.37 times two.
Yeah. Do they also pay per page when you make copies?
25 cents per page.
Okay. Yeah. So it can be, you know, if they're looking for a lot of information, it can be.
And was this a standard set by some group or what?
It's set by law, and they just changed it last summer. And they let us know about it at the Special District Association meeting. So they update that every so often based on what they think things cost.
Okay.
And then add the social media policy.
So this is a social media policy that I borrowed from another library. And it covers a couple things. So it talks about when we post to social media that we need to maintain the same level of customer service through social media that we would physically in the library, and keep remember that it's a public record because it's out there available to everybody. And also that, if there's something that somebody violates the patron rules of conduct, it talks about, if someone has a bad response to our social media or something like that, it talks about how we might remove that response, but only after people have reviewed it within the library. What else?
Who is responsible for posting on your account?
It's our activity services guides and occasionally branch managers.
No.
Yeah,
I tend to do things like, we're closed or we do snow closures or things like that. But activities are our activity services guide. They post the ongoing information about our programs.
And who is this activity services person?
So like for me, it's Camber is mine. And then they have Sherry and Amala on the west side.
So you have specific people that are responsible for posting the activities.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're also the ones coordinating and doing all of that.
Okay. And it also says we don't you know, collect, sell, or knowingly transfer to any third party any personally identifiable information, just kind of like the, you know, the standard disclaimer. So this is pretty straightforward. Like number one and number two are pretty straightforward. But this law, the civil rights of immigrant status, I did a shorter update of it with an overview on this one sheet. But then another library completed their policy, and it's like 3 1/4 pages long. So I'm really not ready to commit to that. This is the one that we have to have in place by September. But some of the key things we trained our staff on at All Staff Day. So it's just that we can't, I mean, we are covered already by confidentiality law for libraries, but this law says specifically that we can't release anybody's immigration status to anyone else. And then it also says that we can't help federal officers unless we have a subpoena, an order, or a warrant that has been signed by a federal judge or federal magistrate, or if we have the consent of the patron or consent of the patron's parent, if it's a child.
And that consent should be in writing?
Right, in writing, yeah. And then just, you know, they don't want us to collect certain things about people, which we don't collect anyway, but it's specifically, we're not allowed to collect place of birth, immigration or citizenship status, or information from passports or any kind of ID. What else? Like if we violate these privacy laws, it's up to $50,000 for each violation for the employee that does that. I don't remember what the violation law, what the penalty is for this. Well,
is the library responsible for the $50,000 fine, or is the employee?
We are, and that's a good question. We're insured. We're insured for employees. Yeah. We're insured for the board. So it would probably be insurance that would cover that. But that's the kind of thing we're looking at. So
is this like, for instance, if there's a patron in the library or a patron that has used the library?
So there's two different things at play. So confidentiality law that applies to library is that we are not allowed to disclose whatever a patron checks out,
right,
or how they use the library, or that they have even used the library. So when we train,
or anything about them,
or like for any new employees, when we train, and even if I can see Ruth Ann across and I get a telephone call, someone says, "Hey, is Ruth Ann there at the library?" And I can see her, I have to say, "I'm sorry, I can't give you that information, but I will give Ruth Ann a message when I see her and have her call you." And then I take their name and number, and then I give that information to Ruth Ann, and then she can call whoever's calling for her if she wants to. So that's library law. And now we're talking about this new immigration law, and it's similar to that.
Exactly.
So, and the other part of in here is that, like, they're not allowed to go into the private areas. So we define specifically what our off limits areas are. So like Kathy's office here is pretty much the only off limits.
Well, that, you know, our utility closet and our break room.
Okay.
Everything else is considered
public.
Public, because so, they can use the restrooms, they can use the main part of the floor.
So in Elizabeth, it would be like Sarah's office and then that whole area back, you know, where I am.
So I'm confused. Is this like for ICE, like safe rooms? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So if ICE would come here and they could come anywhere in the library except for your private room areas.
We can't prevent them from coming in, but we're not allowed to assist.
You don't have to give them any information.
You don't have to give them any information unless they have the subpoenas. And then
if it's, but no, if they have the subpoena and it's signed by a federal
government. Right, right. That's what I mean. What I mean is.
But the subpoena gives them access to your place, but it doesn't give them access to an individual. So you still are not obligated to give them any information about the individual unless they've signed a waiver and said, yes, you can.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird.
No, but now just a minute. If a federal judge has signed, can't they come in and you have to provide any information they're requesting?
Yes, if it's a subpoena. But if they just come in with nothing.
That's a whole different bag.
The subpoena's access. The subpoena had to be very specific. They'd have to say that you are required to give information about this individual.
Right. If that were to happen here, my staff would bring me the subpoena. I would then, take a picture or somehow get it to Susan. Then we would decide how we
would operate. You would talk to a lawyer.
Not your lawyer. Yes. It's a valid subpoena.
I guess one of my questions to Susan was, because now we have fed, as in states like ours, it's like you have federal law that's actually counter to the state law. And I know with this particular law that the Department of Labor, the guy that runs the Department of Labor was request, they did request information from him and, from the Department of Labor, not from him personally, but from the Department of Labor and
State Department of Labor.
It was the State Department of Labor, but the feds came in and requested certain data from our databases for the Department of Labor. And then the Department of Labor had to go to the feds and say, based on state law, I can't give you that. So then Polis actually had to sign something that gave him permission to give that information. It was super convoluted.
So the Department of Labor had it. What was in it? People's names and
they were requesting information about, I think it was 34 families that are housing immigrant,
was this about the children?
Yes,
it was. This is about the children. But
the
court case still has not finished.
Well, and that's this law that was. This law was in contention with the federal law. So, even with the law the way it is, we're still in kind of muddy water, I think, because, even at these other levels, they're struggling with this. But, with us, more than likely, one, we're probably never going to have to deal with it, hopefully. And two, it'll hopefully be much more straightforward where they probably will know this law's in place. If they were to come in here, they probably wouldn't even speak to us. They would just walk through or whatever. I don't know.
So anyway, this is convoluted. It's very complicated. So I'm not ready for you to approve this tonight. I think it's just kind of, it's probably good to just kind of introduce the idea to you. So, when I bring it back, I'm probably going to have a different thing altogether.
Okay.
But none of these three you need approved.
Not tonight, no.
Okay.
I mean, because I think there's no point in just.
It's too complicated. Just do it tonight.
And our policy manual is one huge document. Other libraries do it in separate parts, but for me, it's just still easier to deal with one document. So, definitely read through these so you can kind of get an idea of what's going on. And I gave Alessandra the actual law. If you want me to send you the law, I'm happy to do that.
Okay. I'll read your stuff.
I'd like to read it.
She's a lawyer, so.
Well, it's not bad. It's just, I'd like to know.
Yeah.
So somebody does.
Right.
Somebody's got to read.
So we had to read it because we needed to know that we need to be doing this.
Okay. So we have
in the back of the table.
Oh, see, I knew there was had to be more.
I have it here. I'm trying to guide you.
She's got your back.
Thank you. I know. She takes care of me. Okay, so number 9 is public comment. Do we have any public?
No.
Okay.
What we had is a gone. We got home for the night.
Okay. Any other items, business from a board member? Anything anybody want to bring up? Nope. Okay. Next meeting, July 23rd. I will be in California.
I know. You already told me. I get it.
I can come. I was worried because I missed that last one, but I was able to tap in with the FaceTime.
No. It's always good. Technology is a wonderful thing.
It is. Yes.
I don't leave until the 25th, so that's good.
Okay. So does anybody have a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.